good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss on Native Roots Radio local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Aligned Energy, Powering Beyond. And we'd like to welcome our new affiliate from Waukesha, Milwaukee, 540 AM and 101 FM. You could listen to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, on our new affiliate.
Big, big, big numbers there. We're awesome at 540. You know, when you're get a new car and your phone defaults to 540, we're going to be rocking there. And
nice.
So I hope you enjoy our show. We talk Native issues. And what we start out with, Wendy, as you know, mm-hmm. This is our fifth year now. What we start is with the news with Ogama, and she talks about news from all over Turtle Island. So without further ado, see how I speak French too? They're ado and assassin and all those great French words.
Mosey lawn.
Yeah, cut the grass. Hey, stealing my lines. Let's go with Ogama. Happy New Year and happy fifth year of Native Roots Radio, Ogama.
Hi, Annie. Happy New Year to you too. It's been so far so good. We're only 3 days in, right? Nothing major's happened yet, which is probably pretty good news, I think. I always like to start with a little bit of news on the Stop Line 3 movement in Minnesota. So just a little over a year ago, December 14th, the first 22 water protectors were arrested at an action near to the start of the Line 3 pipeline construction. And coming up here in about a year on January 21st, which is three Fridays from now, Enbridge Energy was working on a site and deliberately didn't follow the permit that they had and drilled too deeply and punctured an aquifer near Clearwater, Minnesota. So since December 14th of 2021 until now, there's very nearly 1,000 water protectors that are still facing legal action on top of being submitted to things like pain compliance and other non-lethal forms of police violence, tactics being used to scare them, and basically kind of throwing everything at water protectors to see what can stick. They're using pain compliance, felony theft charges, critical infrastructure, and other really just kind of gregarious things that don't really stick. So it is interesting to me that, you know, a year later, we're still dealing with this. So as we come up on this 1 year anniversary of the aquifer breach, and we have so many water protectors who I believe are going to be going into court on January 24th, the Monday after that aquifer breach, that you keep Line 3 water protectors in your hearts and your prayers. And if you're not up to date with what's happening with Line 3 over here in Minnesota, and you're maybe listening to us from Wisconsin, Line 5 is about to be a big deal in Wisconsin and Michigan as well. So make sure that you're tuning in and listening in on the injustice that's been happening to water protectors here. And check out stopline3.org for ways that you can help them. Other news in Minnesota, I guess, Robert, Wendy, did you hear about this on New Year's Eve? There was a shooting at the Mall of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like it was like a targeted, like one person going after another person. It wasn't like a mass shooting.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't have, to walk through security at the Mall of America.
Yeah.
'Cause that isn't the first time.
Right. Yeah. It says two males were injured and are expected to survive. Authorities said that they were not searching for a suspect, and it doesn't look like as of January 1st at around 9 a.m., no arrest had been reported yet. So I just thought that was interesting and thought the same thing you did, Robert. I'm surprised there's not more security at places like the Mall of America, because it's not the first time that there's been issues like that at the Mall of America or other large places like that. And then just yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal account got banned on Twitter over COVID information. No tears for that one. In an email to NPR, a spokesperson for Twitter said that they had been clear per their strike system for the policy and that they would be permanently suspending accounts for repeated violation of the policy. And basically, she had tweeted, Marjorie Greene had tweeted that the public health measures imposed during the pandemic, she was super critical of them, criticized the health officials, and basically just saying that it was... an enemy to America. And she said that Twitter was an enemy to America and can't handle the truth.
Well, she's also blocked from Facebook, I saw today too. But I don't know for how long, 24 hours or whatever.
Oh, she's in Facebook jail.
Yeah. I've been there though. So
yeah, you've been there. Yeah.
I've been there too. I totally
been
understand.
In Facebook jail yet, so.
I'm surprised because you got that New York whip ass.
I'm
going to
post something tonight and see what happens.
There you go.
Just to see what happens. You know, I'm glad to see our social media companies like Twitter taking a step for this and to really limit the number of people. I mean, I don't think there's really any way to quantify the number of people who have died as a direct result of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene spreading this misinformation and telling people that you don't need a vaccine or that this virus is somehow fake and those kinds of things. So I'm really glad to see, you know, even if it is Meta, stepping up a little bit here to try to curb a little bit of that, especially with very heavily followed people such as Marjorie Taylor Greene. So I was grateful for that, grateful to hear that. Coming back into some native news, just at the end of December in the Northwest, there was a timber company that returned 2 miles of waterfront back to a tribe, which is really exciting. So Port Blakely, which is a family-owned timber operations company in both the U.S. and New Zealand, returned 2 miles of waterfront and 125 acres of tidelands on Little Skookum Inlet in Mason County to the Saksquin Island Tribe at no cost. So it's really kind of a big deal when these companies do land back, and returning that property is a big part of that. And then I guess there was another transaction. The tribe also reached an agreement with Port Blakely to acquire about 875 acres of upland forest in its ancestral lands, but the sum of that was undisclosed. So the so-called Kamilche property had been acquired by Port Blakely following the signing of the 1854 Medicine Creek Treaty 167 years ago, almost to the day of the announcement of the land transactions. The company was able to give some of that back. So that was really, really exciting. That one warmed my heart just as we hit the end of the year, Robert and Wendy, and we talk a lot about land back and, you know, making our tribes more self-sufficient. Speaking of self-sufficient, in Pine Ridge, right at the end of the year, there are now small cannabis businesses that are licensed and owned by the people of Pine Ridge. On all the other reservations, the licenses are owned by the IRA and outside corporations. They, I guess, were in a 2-year battle over ordinances on Pine Ridge, and they believe that it is worth it to have new Lakota companies and having their own families' logos and brands and those kinds of things is really exciting. So congratulations to our relatives on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Who are working on branching into cannabis and hemp over there.
Pinigigi, Ogama, we're excited. It's a new year, Wendy, and we want to introduce Heather Keeler, our state representative of Minnesota, a young Native warrior, to everybody in our new affiliates. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to be in Milwaukee, and we're excited to have Heather Keeler up next, and then, of course, Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Calusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Again, we want to say, hey, Milwaukee, good to have you aboard here. WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw, I guess, for Waukesha. There,
nice.
Where the station is located, but it's Milwaukee, and we're excited, and I wanted to play that from Wayne's World, where Alice Cooper explained what Milwaukee meant. But maybe tomorrow we have Heather Keeler, who I wanted to reach out to. She's like a chujung to us, Wendy,
yes.
Like a niece to us in Ho-Chunk, and we're really proud of her. And I wanted her to get on this week and introduce herself to thousands and thousands and thousands more people. So welcome, Heather. I know you're one of those sticklers like Wendy. You like to plan and stuff like that, but I like to have a conversation. And, you know, we had Robert Lilligren and Wendy would do the same thing. Heather is prepare what we're going to talk about and then not even talk about what we prepared for. So I love just talking and touching base with you and the energy and all you've done here in the state of Minnesota in less than 2 short years, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished my first session. So from when I announced that I was going to run, you know, so we had a year of pandemic campaigning and then 1 year of session. So really 2 years.
Wow. It seemed longer, but I guess, yeah, you know, we got to meet you early in your running and how you changed your mind. You were going to run for something else and then decided to run for state representative at the last minute. But I don't want to tell your story. Can you tell our audience a little bit about your story?
Sure. It's really exciting to talk about it because I think that it resonates with a lot of people. I used to kind of be like really shy to talk about why I thought running, one, was a place that I didn't belong. And then two, what changed my mind? Yes. I think also like right now we're experiencing the fact that I'm also a mom. So
yes.
Elliot's over here joining me. He was so funny though. I was listening to Ogama talk about the land back stuff. And he said, I love that. Dad. Say hi, Elliot.
There he is.
So he's actually one of my biggest whys and why I decided to run. When I was in grad school, I did my practicum. I did talking circles in my community to learn about the barriers to education outside of academic rigor. And so representation was one of the top things that rose to the top. And we all know that, right? Like, it's not just that we want teachers who look like us, but really in the professional fields, growing up, I didn't see a lot of people who looked like me, which led me to believe that when nobody's at those tables, people aren't making decisions with us in mind. So after I did my practicum and kind of got out into the community, I thought, you know what, I can run for school board. During that same time, we collectively worked with local community members to pass Indigenous Peoples Day in our community. And so school board was going to be it for me. And then Ben Lean announced his retirement. And a lot of people in my community just asked if I would ever consider it. And I said no multiple times. And it was actually women in my community that reached out, but also my kids. I worked in Indian education for 12 years, building really strong relationships with our kids, telling them that, you know, things might be challenging, things might catch you off guard, you know, follow the creator and the journey. And one of my kids said to me, Heather, why did you tell us all that if you're not even going to do that, you know, yourself? We need somebody to stand up for us. And so it was really that next generation. And, you know, I've been on this show many times. And one of the biggest things I talk about is being able to impact our next seven generations. And if nothing else, me being in this seat with Peggy and Jamie and Mary, hopefully we're at least examples and inspiration to the next generation and others in other communities that want to step up and lead with us.
Yeah, that's what I always say when I see, especially when I was still teaching, I would see Peggy Flanagan and just thank her, because it takes a lot of guts and a lot of drive. But it's a thank her that she's in such a great position, and my students could see her and it could mirror it back, as you said. That's Wendy and I have to thank you too, Heather. It's just, it's amazing, and it seems like, you know, you've been state representative for a long time.
It feels like a long time. You know, this job is so hard. And I wish that we could talk a little bit more about the honest pieces of it. You know, with the Dakota 38 plus 2 anniversary just a couple days ago, I made a post talking about how important it is for us to understand the full history of Minnesota. And the fact that on the Minnesota House floor, we have a portrait of President Lincoln overlooking us. And, you know, I made a statement that in itself is a definition that shows that racism is woven into our decision making. That if we're going to argue that that's the president, that's the best president to be in our House chambers, meanwhile, the Senate, you know, has a pattern in the background, you know, why can't we show our waters? Why can't we show the beautiful parts of Minnesota? Why do we have to have a president who, you know, ordered 38 of our relatives to be hung right in our own state? I just feel like we need to address those things. And those are the types of things that get really scary. Because I said when I ran, I promise that I will stand up and be a voice, even if my voice shakes and if it's scary and I need to find courage from somewhere. I just have to do it for our next generations. So that is one of the pieces that we're taking on. You know, this year we're writing legislation to pass or to create Indigenous Peoples Day as a state traditionally recognized holiday, in hopes that our education system starts to have intentional conversations about the history of Minnesota.
That's a great point there too. We go to our St. Paul City Council, mm-hmm. and there's looks like soldiers handing out blankets to Indians. You know,
yeah, panels on the wall in the background. That was that time when I went to present an ordinance to the city council, and we're sitting there looking at these panels that were really. And we talked to Chris Tolbert, our city council member, to ask him, like, we need to get these panels off the wall. This is terrible. So,
but it's really,
we have to follow up on that.
That's so crazy, because if they're blankets, like, those were measles blankets. That was one of the very first historical moves of youth, you know, like a genocide through our youth. And that's what they're highlighting. And so You know, it's really nice because actually Representative Erdahl, he is from the other side of the aisle. Me and him work together, and I think he's actually putting up a bill this year to talk about the artwork and how important that is, that it is representative. And also, you know, that we really examine what some of those meanings are and the impacts that they have on us currently.
Well, I mean, that's like I was going to say, that's a really good point, because I am 60 years old, and in 1967 was the last year that they could play cigarette ads. And I still know all the songs,
all the little jingles,
all the jingles. So all these little things that are that you look at or see or become anesthetized to, like that, mm-hmm. are there all over. Whether it's a name of a city that's destroyed, because like we're in Milwaukee now, but that's a kind of a messed up native name that they you know. Like Shakopee, and you know that isn't the right pronunciation or spelling of a native person or area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that right, all of these conversations and all the arguments that happen just lead back to the fact that we have to have a more inclusive K-12 education system, because when we talk about, you know, implementing Indigenous history or even contemporary Indigenous facts, like we're still alive, you know, we're not just history and artifacts, like we're still very much making movements on Turtle Island right now. But I think just all these conversations point to the fact that it's healthy for everybody to have opportunity to learn about Indigenous history. It's not just good for Indigenous students, it's good for everybody. I think we all have things that we need to learn, could learn and probably should be learning.
Well, and one of the things Nancy Beaulieu, who's on our Tuesdays, talks about is treaties, but the treaties work both ways. And there's good things for the colonizers, too, in the treaty, too, not just for the Native Americans.
I actually use Nancy's quote a lot. I probably totally botch it, but more that, like, you know, our treaties is our responsibility and our commitment to be good neighbors. That's not just us as Indigenous people. You know, it goes both ways, but it's also that whole mentality that we just have to have a community mind frame and we have to care about something bigger than ourselves. And we just have to do much, much better at that.
We only have a minute left, Heather, and I don't want to switch this to heavy duty right now because it's really light, but I would like to ask you, I was at a MMIW thing at the Capitol, and you were one of the speakers. It was when they had all the dresses out there, and one of the things that you said, I'm wondering if you could quote this, because I know I sure have misquoted you or bastardized what you said, but what you told your kids. Could you say that?
So we talk a lot about, you know, the conversations that we have to have around murdered and missing Indigenous women. And it's one thing that we have to have search plans, we have to have those supports, but it's also that, unfortunately, we have to have conversations within our own home. And so when my son was old enough to kind of understand what was going on, and we started seeing that the media had a big role in spinning the story. And it was always like, well, maybe they just ran away, or maybe they went and, you know, they decided to get drunk and not come home. Like it was always these awful stories. And I had to tell my son, who's now 15, I said, DJ, if I don't come home, that was not my choice. Don't ever let anybody ever, ever, ever try to convince you that it was my choice to leave my family. And that's why what we do as legislators is so important, to have a healthy relationship with media, so that we're sharing those messages loud and clear, and we're doing it from a clear lens, because mis-messaging is really, really dangerous and detrimental to this movement.
Wow, thank you so much, Pinigigi, for being on, as always, Heather Keeler. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was State Representative Heather Keeler.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Bonjour, relatives. My name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
This is AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 12. Tuesday, about 1 to 2 inches of snow with a high near 31. And Wednesday, cloudy with a high near 14. Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette. They offer the finest in extra virgin olive oils, white balsamic vinegars, wine vinegars, and more. Reintroduce yourself to all of the many flavors by tasting before you buy. Vinaigrette is located off 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
We would like to welcome our new affiliate from Waukesha, Milwaukee, WAUK 540 AM at the Walk. And 101 FM in the Shaw. That's how they call it there, the Waukesha.
That's right. Hey, I just wanted to, Wendy and I, before we get to Dr. Stately, wanted to just say this to Heather, that we were talking during the break and how much Chuzhunk means niece, but we feel like, you know, you were saying.
Well, I said she's more like a daughter. I mean, when I was Heather's age, my mom was my age. So, you know, she could be our daughter.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But we think of you, we think of you, your daughter, just not in the age thing, but right. Just, you know, how close we become. And it seems like we've known you a lot longer than a year, I guess, is what I was saying.
And we like your son's little hat.
Yeah, exactly. Cheers. Well, hey, have you ever met Dr. Stately, Heather? He does our Monday.
Yeah. Actually, the last time we were together, I had one of my babies in my home. And so we ended up going down the path of talking around ICWA.
That's awesome. Right. That was a heavy show. It's Good thing it's not going to be heavy. It's New Year's, right, Dr. Stately?
No. We are in the middle of a pandemic, so.
Yeah, that's true. And everything's closing down.
It's kind of revving up.
Yeah, it is kind of revving up, huh?
Things are getting a little tense, you know? Yeah.
Wait, let me introduce you here and make sure I introduce your proper title. I have it written right here. It's Dr. Stately, CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. Welcome.
Thank you.
It was good seeing
I
you.
I love your son's hat, too. I didn't see his head when you were like in something, and I thought, well, she has a Muppet on her head.
Yeah, she's not only state senator, she's a puppeteer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's a representative.
I was going to say, I have no senator here.
I know.
Take Wendy, that back, Robert.
I take that back. I'm sorry. Wendy got mad at me, too. Sorry. State representative. I do that all the time. I think I want to give you a raise or get more work for you to do or something. So, Dr. Stately, what's going on? I saw you at the powwow, the sober powwow, which is always good to see you. And you got to meet one of my favorite daughters and her husband. And
That was a nice little opportunity to meet your family and also to be at a sober powwow on New Year's Eve, 2021, as we're sort of entering the beginning, the third year of a pandemic. But I was like, you know, I was getting like, I was getting kind of like, you know, melancholic, or I guess, you know, sort of like as I was at that powwow, because I think I mentioned it to you, like my mom was really instrumental in starting that powwow like 40 years ago, you know, before she had passed away. She's been gone, I think, from us now about 36, 37 years, something like that, 34 years probably. But and so it was just kind of nice to be there that evening. It wasn't really crowded. People were wearing masks. The majority of people, I mean, I saw like one or two small children not wearing masks and needed reminders, but that's normal. And it was just nice to see all our relatives gathered, you know, and trying to, you know, support one another. And, you know, it was a nice way to spend the evening.
You had to show you were vaccinated too. So that's really good too. You couldn't be like a professional football player and have a fake one. No.
She's so bad. We're going to go there.
No, we won't go there. We won't go there.
No. And you know, I'd download the Docket app on my phone so that I could sign in and pull my, my prescriptions straight off of the Minnesota Department of Health website. So it worked out just fine.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, state representative, but Dr. Stately early on in November of last year had COVID and was hospitalized. So not only is he an expert on his clinic and what goes on there, he also had COVID and was very, very, very sick.
Yeah, been out of the hospital now for a year and a couple weeks, a year and a month or so. And actually my, I barely got here on time back to the house in time to get on the radio. I was out looking for an oximeter, pulse oximeters, measures the amount of oxygen in your blood, right? And your oxygen level. And I was out looking for one for my niece because she's sick. She's COVID positive, and she was saying earlier that she was having difficulty breathing. So I was like, oh, we got to get an oximeter for her. And I went to 5 drugstores and I couldn't find it. They're completely sold out. And I looked it up on the internet, and I think you could probably order one on the internet and get one in about 4 or 5 days. But so just want to encourage people, like, you know, prepare now, even if you're not sick or even if you're not COVID positive, to do the things that will help you to sort of make sure you have all of the tools that you need to monitor your illness if you do get sick and you do have to stay at home and kind of, you know, and you know, just monitor your symptoms so that you know when to go to the ER.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
even finding at-home COVID tests are hard. I think I just bought a thermometer. So I have a thermometer. I don't have a pulse ox. What you called it, an oximeter? Okay, yeah. So that would be good to get. I could order one of those and we could have those. It's a little thing, you put it on your finger and it measures the oxygen in your blood.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's getting insane because the hospitals are full and people, old people like me can't get in. And if I did have a, you know, I'm getting old, so I could fall easily. I've done that before and I could cut myself and get stitched. You know, they're, not to be light about it, but it really just the normal kind of emergencies are going to be hard to deal with because we're so loaded with COVID patients, Dr. Stately.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you this like last week. My partner had to go to the hospital, the ER, and he was having difficulty breathing, not because of COVID, but because he also struggles with diabetes, and he had been, his sugars had been out of control for a while. One of the things that is challenging just to, within the context of a pandemic is just accessing and being able to kind of get consistent chronic healthcare services, right? Even, you know, like taking care of your diabetes is challenging. And he ended up having to go to the ER, and you know, we went to there in the hospital, and I didn't go with him, and they weren't letting people go in with their spouses into the ER. But he was on a gurney and in a closet outside the ICU for 3 days before they had a bed open up for him. And
that's crazy.
That's so real.
I know. They hear
maximum on beds.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, I was just at the drugstore and it was like, you know, packed to the gills with people in there at the pharmacy trying to get, you know, supplies. It's really kind of, it reminds me of like what it felt like to be where we were at a year and a half ago.
Well, I don't know if this has to do with it, but I know Wendy went to, was it shopping yesterday?
I went shopping yesterday to Menards.
And guess what she couldn't find?
There was not one roll of toilet paper in all of Menards.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
So if anybody out there has any extra toilet paper,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I happen to have some.
And we'll swing by and pick it up.
The whole, you know, how big their aisles are and their shelves are, you know, 12 feet high, not one roll of toilet paper.
I feel like I want to be that guy, like, and that was on, like, there was a guy that was in way back in the pandemic first happened.
True.
You know, yeah, had his like entire garage was filled with toilet paper balls.
Yeah.
It was like selling a roll for like $10.
Oh my
God. And like a case of paper towels is like $18-$19.
No,
it's insane.
I think all our nations need to start making hemp toilet paper and hemp paper towels. Really. Hey, Heather, I know you got to get going. Do you have a question for Dr. Stately before you get going? Or a statement?
Well, I always have questions. I love when you give me the opportunity to ask a question because it's something I'm really good at. One of the questions I have for you is, what do you think this trend is going to look like? You know, we've seen other strands kind of have longer time frames, longer quarantines. And I think the last I heard is really like quarantine 5 days, wear a mask. Do you think that we're going to have higher spikes, more people, and get past it faster? What's your assessment on that?
I think the, I think what we're likely to see, I mean, the data seems to, the anecdotal data seems to suggest, and some of the early studies on sort of this specific variant, the Omicron, seems to suggest it is less virulent in terms of infection and making you sick. It isn't that it doesn't make you sick. It doesn't make you as seriously sick. And particularly if you're vaccinated and or you have the booster. But I do think that one of the things that is challenging about this particular strain of virus is that it is so highly contagious, you know, 40 times greater than even the Delta variant. And the Delta variant was like 4 or 5 times greater than the first sort of like variant of COVID in 2019. And I think one of the things that's really scary and challenging about that is that, you know, it's putting a even people who are having, you know, very, not very mild, but mild, less severe symptoms than we were seeing a year ago in the last big spike with and with Delta too, is that it's putting such a strain on the healthcare system, right? We're hearing, like, you know, just a week ago when people were traveling for to go see families during the holidays, they got stranded in places where they didn't want to be because airline attendants and pilots and like that were calling in sick and not being able to come in. They had to quarantine. So the you know, the sort of the coincidental sort of impact that's having on our infrastructure, both healthcare and other related service industries, is that people are going to be having less availability to see the doctor. They're going to be less available to do other things because people are getting sick and they're going to have to quarantine and not going to be able to show up for work. And that's going to create all kinds of other problems for us, right? Because the health industry is still dealing with other things other than COVID, right?
Hey, thank you, Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, for stopping in. We'll spend some more time with Dr. Stately after this short break.
Stay with us.
Name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's always great to have Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler on, mm-hmm. and we know she used to do a show, we used to produce a show for her called Together with Heather. And she was a great broadcaster there and questioner. Mm-hmm. So we had to get her off so I could ask some questions. I'm just kidding. But it was great having her on. Mm-hmm. And now we have Dr. Stately here in our last segment. We usually have Dr. Stately here on Mondays. And he's CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Welcome back, Dr. Stately. That was some interesting conversation that we were just having. And one of the things Wendy and I have our own show when the commercials are on too. We talk about some stuff. But one of the things she was mentioning is that the flu shot might not be as strong as years past. Have you heard anything like that? And I know I always get my flu shot for the next year or the year after, and just to build up immunity.
I haven't heard that, but you know, I think that it's possible. You know, remember that we went last year and there was practically no cases of flu last year, and that had a lot to do with like the fact that people just were not out circulating, people were wearing masks, socially distancing, those kinds of things. So, you know, I'm sure it felt like this last year, the flu, your everyday seasonal flu seemed to be a thing of the past. But, and so maybe with all of the other things, there wasn't a lot of attention paid to sort of like, the new, changes that they have to make to the flu vaccine, according to what they're seeing in terms of cases, because there weren't any cases, so maybe they didn't do a whole lot of changing. But you know, the flu virus, like the common cold, and like is in that family of coronaviruses where it adapts and changes. Mm-hmm. You know, with it, every time it sort of kind of you know. Gets out into the community and community spread. And we all should understand that what that looks like now, you know, with the going into the third year of a pandemic. And it's possible that, you know, they didn't have enough science or evidence to, because there was not a sample to draw from last year's, flu, epidemic in the United States, because there wasn't one. So it's hard to tell. I'm not really boned up on that on that topic, but it seems logical to me that might be a contribution. I do want to take a moment and let everyone know that today, the FDA approved
booster
shots for 12 and above, so 12 to 15, for Pfizer vaccine. They shortened the time frame of waiting for the booster from 6 months from your second shot to 5 months from your second shot. And that's based on research and data that was done in a study in Israel. Mm-hmm. Moderna still requires a 6 month waiting period. If you happen to have gotten that in like late May, late August, something like that, because I think Pfizer was approved first and then Moderna later. And I know for a fact that I plan to go, you know, as soon as I can get my kids in for their boosters, they're going in for their boosters with the Pfizer vaccine, because, you know, they're hockey players, they're in school, they're in high school, that, you know, they tell me all of the time that, you know, lots of kids in their school do not wear masks, and if they do, they wear them poorly, like under their nose and all kinds of craziness. So they're gonna get that shot if I have to like scale the walls of FDA myself and get it.
Yeah,
well, they're even recommending more sufficient masks as well. Like the N95s, you know, they're saying like the little cloth masks that you're wearing are really just for decoration, and they may provide a little bit of protection, but not as much as we need right now with this Omicron variant.
And I think that it's important to just remind people that, like, you know, you don't really know who has been vaccinated. Like, you know, people aren't walking around with a V on their, chest, like, you know, like the Scarlet Letter days, and they're not unless you sort of are having those free conversations and with people you don't really know. And I think that they want to encourage people to remember, like, even though this variant seems to not be quote unquote as make you as sick, what we don't know also is that, you know, there are still a number of people that are ending up in the ICU there, and 1/3 of the new cases and 1/3 of the ICU cases that we've seen in the significant uptick in cases and hospitalization are children under the age of 17, right? Wow. Those who didn't get vaccinated and or who also didn't get their boosters. And only 30% of the United States that have folks who have gotten vaccinated who are eligible for boosters have done so. And It's important to understand that the evidence has been very clear over the last several weeks to several months that fully vaccinated and boosted individuals, by and large, are not getting seriously sick and not ending up in the ICU and not ending up dead from COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad. I mean, I keep hearing from folks in my social network and networks and people who are close to me of family members who, you know, chose not to get the booster because the first or second one made them feel ill and then they got sick and they got seriously sick. I have a close friend of mine who lost her brother-in-law fairly rapidly within days of getting sick. So I have other folks who I have known who just, you know, had the ability to get vaccinated and didn't, and they succumbed fairly rapidly to the variant and to the virus and ended up getting sick and dying. So it is really, really important that we protect ourselves and we protect our families and we protect our communities and our elders. And the only way to do that is to get fully vaccinated, which includes the booster when it's available. It will make you less likely to become seriously ill and less likely to be hospitalized. And that's important for all of us.
It really is important.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. I have this from Sanford Health. And this is data from the Sanford Health numbers. So this is as of December 14th. So it's a little while ago, but it was when the Omicron was still around. And they have the people in the hospital at Sanford Health, 224 are hospitalized, 206 are unvaccinated, and 18 are vaccinated. 70 people were in the ICU, 67 were unvaccinated, and 3 were vaccinated. 50 people were on ventilators, 48 people were unvaccinated, and only 2 were vaccinated. So those numbers show you right there that being vaccinated protects you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that people go through this process of like sort of kind of trying to convince themselves that like, you know, there are breakthrough cases with when you're vaccinated, there's breakthrough cases. And it's like, yes, that's true. But the significant overwhelming evidence is that those breakthrough cases that end up with you being seriously ill or hospitalized or dying are so, so, so very small. And it's a little bit like a lottery, or it's a little bit like, you know, it's like going to the casino and thinking you're going to hit it big. Kind of like, you know, the chances are very slim. You're more likely to sort of like end up on the other side rather than on the side of being well and okay. So I just want to encourage people to do that. You know, I've been in healthcare for a really long time. And, you know, the other day when I drove my partner to the hospital, the second time he had to go back a couple of days later, and I drove up to the ER and there was like no parking in the ER parking lot. I was like, this is crazy. I have not seen this in a really long time. Right. So just want to encourage people to just see the writing that's on the wall.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.